Hello and welcome to the finale of the layover.
Yay.
This is very exciting. We've made it.
Well, this isn't really the finale of the layover, is it?
Of this season.
We're done.
Sure, sure.
We're
I guess
done with the layover.
This season of the layover.
Yeah. Yeah, we're free. Actually, we're really not free because that means we have to come up with off-season episodes, which is like the hardest thing of our job.
But damn.
That's a problem for another day. Congratulations, Brian, for maintaining your perfect 50% win rate on jet lag.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because I think you got a 50% win this season.
Yeah. The first ever certificate of merit on the show.
That's true. Those are rare.
Yeah.
Those are much rarer than the trophies.
Mm-hmm. You're the only one who has one, yeah.
Yeah, everyone's got one of those trophies. Trophies are a dime a dozen, but certificates of merit.
Yeah, I'm a special little flower.
I was unnaturally pleased by the certificate of merit concept.
Now, there's something that I would like to say about the second place round and Brian's certificate of merit, if the court will allow it, which is that in the second place round, Brian made it significantly further in his run than Michelle and I had to get in order to win in the initial round.
Very true.
Michelle and I only had to travel from the center of the map to Zermatt, right, which is, I can actually do the math here. That's however many miles. And then the other team had to travel that whole distance just to get into our win region and then had to travel even further in order to actually, you know, get far enough in that we weren't going to get caught.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not 100% on this, but I think that this might be the longest tag run in terms of distance.
I think it's almost certainly the furthest anyone has traveled.
Very possible, because y'all maintained a relatively high speed throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as they say, that is how the Jets lag. You know, the Jets aren't always fair.
That's true.
But yeah, well done.
I was not confident when we started the run at all. Like, I thought we were going to get caught almost immediately.
I will say, in fairness to the other team, we would have been caught multiple times if not for bizarre mishaps on their end.
So bizarre. Yeah. Definitely not planned. Or
yeah, to be honest, I don't know how much I want to admit this, but like, it felt to me pretty low likelihood that we were not going to get a catch. Like, I think on our end, it was a when, not if kind of thing.
It was a when, yeah.
So it's like, that didn't mean that, like, we think we would win. It was just like, we thought that it would be about when do we make it and can we then navigate into our region or the neutral
right.
zone, not if we were going to get a catch at all.
And there's a lot more footage that is filmed than is in the episode of you guys continually figuring out routes back and if you can make it and if you can't make it and all that stuff, which I think in the world in which you did catch us and then had to make it back, we would have included more of it because that would have been more of a conflict. But in the end,
yeah,
that was not the conflict because it never, you know.
Yeah. And annoyingly, we had routes back until, like what we did say in the episode is like, in a weird way, y'all actually, the route you took sort of followed the route we needed to take towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like a 2 or 3 hour period where we were like just on the edge of being able to make it. And actually, I can tell you, juicy layover nugget that I'm remembering.
Ooh.
For a while, there was a circumstance where we would have had a potential of a win that was down to seconds.
Yes, I remember hearing about this.
Yeah.
The deal was that, and it was even sort of unprecedented from a rules perspective. So we had to sort of interpret the rules in our best way.
I think this would have been comfortably allowed. I think, no question. In my opinion. In my opinion, no question.
I think so. But basically, our very last option, after all options had gone away, was that there was a train that went nonstop from Strasbourg to Paris along that high-speed line. And for a while, we could have made that train. The problem was that train didn't get to Paris until like 7:30 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, wait, what time do we end? We end at 7?
No, it was after because we end at
8? Yeah, that's right. So I think it got into Paris at like 8:30. So it got in after the rest period. So the question was, where at 8 p.m. when the game ends, would we have been?
Yeah.
And the answer was very, very, very incredibly close to the line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the thing is, the train from Champagne-Ardenne to Paris along that line. And remember, Champagne-Ardenne, that's basically the border.
Yeah.
That's why Adam,
exactly.
you know, got out there and walked to the border.
Mm-hmm.
Champagne-Ardenne is about 30 minutes from Paris on that high-speed line. So I think it literally would have been, at least our last shot would have been, we would get on that train and we would literally just, at the moment it struck eight, we would just see where we were. And I think, like, I truly don't know what side of that line we would have been on.
It would have been pretty cool.
Yeah.
Would have been a pretty cool finale. Almost as cool as us just straight up winning. But
well, that was pretty cool for y'all. Yeah, I agree.
That was pretty awesome for us. No, that would have ripped. That, in fact, would have ripped. Well, I don't even think it's a question if that's allowed in the rules. I think it definitely is. I can't see any reason why it wouldn't be.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Well, yeah, I agree. Yeah, the only weird thing is, like, most days you cannot do that because you need to be off.
Of course, the train. But the game's over.
Yeah. So our interpretation was like, the game's over, so rules don't apply.
Oh, of course.
So there's no rules about, yeah. But it did take some thinking because it, you know, obviously different than the other days. Yeah. Anyways, that of course didn't happen. And that's far from the beginning of the episode. We start with our near miss in Nuremberg.
That one is crazy. I mean, that one is what, like, under 5 minutes, I think.
So close.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I mean, I think we actually potentially saw your train leaving. I think we lacked footage, but...
Yeah, you didn't have footage of it.
Yeah.
How long did the tree actually delay your train? How long were you there for?
I don't remember exactly. Probably about, like, 20, 25 minutes, maybe.
Huh, okay. That's, could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, as I recall, it sort of stopped twice. It stopped, like, a little bit in the moment. Then it went to the next station and seemingly stopped a little bit longer. So I would guess like 2025. The train was already delayed, you know, because Deutsche Bahn. But yeah. And the other thing about that train that was very stressful in the moment that ended up not mattering was basically in the car that we were in, one of the doors was not working. Like on one side of the train, the doors were not functional. But we couldn't get to another car because it was so packed. Like we just couldn't shove our way through. It was like straight up, you could not move. So... we were really, really worried in the moment when we realized that, like, what if we get there, they're still there, and we have to wait for all these people to get off the train so we can get to another carriage versus being able to exit right there. It ended up being the fact that the doors opened on the other side on the platform of Nuremberg, but we were very stressed in the moment because it was like, that could be a really annoying, like, somewhat self-owned, you know, unforced error, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it is just like... It's so funny to look back at the footage of us. There's something very funny in the fact that we completely make the wrong decision. And I'll take responsibility in that, like, I was the one who I think was pushing perhaps the most that we should swap plans and do this route up to Kassel. And it became like, that was 100% the wrong call. Like, we should have been getting out of there immediately.
Yeah.
Because what was your original plan?
What was our original plan? Yeah, I can't remember.
So here's what happened. We were originally going to take a train up to Erfurt, right?
Yes.
And Erfurt would be, I believe, just barely into our zone would be Erfurt. And my recollection is that we had... strong reason to believe that we would get caught in Erfurt.
Well, I can tell you, Erfurt is where we thought you were going.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we were sort of optimizing for that. And in fact, what I talked about last episode, when we in Stuttgart were considering doing a big, long route around to get in front of you, our leading theory, I believe, was to end up in Erfurt.
Yes. So that's what we thought you had done, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm remembering now, yeah. We thought you had taken that big long route to Erfurt, in which case you would have beaten us there, or at a minimum, you would have definitely been there before we could have left.
And I was already feeling a little resigned to the idea, like, okay, we're going to get caught in Erfurt, probably, and then it's going to be a question of if they can get out of there in time.
Yeah.
And so we were worried you were already in Erfurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that, like, and we've seen this on the show before, like, I think... when you get a ton of coins much faster than you expect, and all of a sudden the options that you have rapidly expand beyond the options you thought you had, the idea of sticking to your same plan feels silly. And you're like, no, like we have so many more options now. We should do something else. And I do think that was a bit of an allure, which could have misled us a tiny bit here.
Because the other thing was, my recollection is the train to Erfurt that we would have taken was quite slow, I think. And that was, I think, part of the problem was, like, you could take very high-speed trains to Erfurt, and we were going to be crawling to Erfurt.
Yeah.
And we were just so sure you were going to catch us there. And so that was why we shifted the plan.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we could have, in the situation we were at this same moment, because we were obviously just starting from Nuremberg, too. Mm-hmm. But, of course, we could have had we made that call earlier.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of funny situation where, like, y'all arguably made the wrong call in a way that made our wrong call right.
Yeah.
But also your wrong call sort of also ended up right. So, I mean,
a lot of cascading. I mean, I'll also just add, I'm pretty sure at this point in the day, we had become convinced that you guys had gone ahead of us, essentially.
Yeah.
Because the fact that we hadn't seen you all day, we were like, well, if they were following directly behind us, we would have seen them by now, which would have been true if not for all of your crazy delay things. Mm-hmm. So we had come to the conclusion, we were like, no, 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 they're in front of us. They went ahead of us, right?
Yeah.
And we were like, if we go to Erfurt, they are going to get our asses for sure.
I do remember that.
Because the train we thought you were taking was like a nonstop, basically, to Erfurt. It was like a nonstop from maybe Frankfurt to Erfurt, or it had very few stops at a minimum.
Yeah.
And so our big thing was, we were like, we believed that what was going to happen was that you guys would have seen that we went to Stuttgart, seen that we went to Nuremberg, figured out we were going to go to Erfurt next, and you would have preemptively gotten on a high-speed train going all the way to Erfurt, but you would have committed to Erfurt at that point. And we were like, they're on a high-speed train to Erfurt right now, but they've committed to it. It doesn't have stops that are helpful to them.
Yeah.
And so we're going to totally swerve them and go the other way. And that was why we made the call.
Well, you are right. But of course, that reasoning was exactly why we didn't do the move to Erfurt, is because we saw how we basically would have had to commit to it. And therefore, it felt like too much of a commitment, especially at the moment where, you know, again, we thought that we would be able to catch up. And actually, one more thought of that's like, the challenge for us was like, we really did not have many options to get physically in front of you by going around. Because, like, I think it was more or less like the only higher speed rails were like the big trunk line up to Frankfurt. But then Frankfurt was so far west that, like, by the time you did that and you came back east again, you were hardly ahead. And therefore, like, you had little maneuverability while being ahead. That's why you had to make that commitment to a single spot. But yeah, it was really tricky. I think it is worth acknowledging here and now, I feel like some people could watch this season and potentially feel like challenges were too easy. Because we do see, I mean, at the end of the day, there was only one catch this season.
It's true.
And in both the other runs, I think what you see is that the runners are able to stay ahead pretty easily.
Well, I mean, in our case, we would have gotten caught twice if not for some crazy luck. But
right. Well, that's kind of my first point.
The challenges we pulled were relatively difficult.
Yes.
I think the only really, really easy one, just the gimme that we got, was the find air conditioning one.
That's true.
And we were just like literally right next to McDonald's. It's like, oh, there we go.
Well,
that was a gimme.
Yeah. I think easily is the wrong term. I think it's rather that they're able to maintain a relatively fast pace of travel relative to the other seasons. And my first point would kind of be what y'all say is, like, I think there is an argument that Adam and Michelle pulled easier than average or faster than average challenges just by luck across the span of their run. I mean, would you agree?
Oh, I would agree with that for sure. I mean, we got 800 coins for free at the start of our run because we pulled the identify where the teams are. And then we got the no phones curse. We got at the point at which it was the best probably possible time to get that curse. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we had extremely good luck.
I was really wanting to get the no phones curse because, like, I traveled all over Europe without phones for years. Like, I don't see why that's difficult at all. I think that's like a huge card.
Well, you're an old man, Brian.
Yeah, there's a lot of old heads in the comments of episode 3 being like, I don't see what the big problem is. These kids these days. Just like Brian.
Let's go and get a paper map.
But I will point out that these challenges were optimized around, again, two chaser teams. And so, you know, when we switched to one chaser team for this second place round, like, we were able to get rid of the power-ups and things, but the fact of the matter is, like, the challenges were still balanced that other way, and we couldn't change that. So I do think that that was also certainly a factor here.
Yeah, that's definitely true that, like, as we mentioned at the start of the season, we sort of intentionally calibrated them as a little bit higher expected value.
As someone outside of the actual, like, game design process, I actually kind of like seeing when the game doesn't quite work as you expect it to in the show, because it just, like, adds more realism to it, and it's fun to see the format evolve and change over time as you learn things. I think that's kind of part of the magic of the show, and I think people like discussing that part, even when they're saying, like, oh, the challenges were too easy. I feel like they're enjoying discussing it. It's not like a complaint. It's just like an analysis. It's like someone watching football and talking about a particular play that was made or something.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if people are saying that. I just wanted to preempt it.
Yeah, no. Well, I'll also note, you know, we optimized the challenges to be for two people dealing with two teams of chasers, not three people. We also had three people doing the challenges, which I think also sped things up a bit. But I would say that the argument that I would make about if I were to completely redesign the deck is that, you know, over time, we've made the challenges much more failable. Like, in the early seasons of Tag, you couldn't really fail challenges that often. And in this season of Tag, you really could fail challenges more often. And so I think that we had designed it with sort of, there's a trade-off. It's like, if you increase the likelihood of vetoes, you have to make the challenges, on average, take less time because you have to account for the expected value of the challenges. But I think what that can lead to is, if you get a bunch of challenges that you don't fail and you just hit them, right, then you can get a lot of coins relatively quickly. So I do think that I wouldn't have made the challenges likelier to fail, but what I would have done is I would have made the challenges just take more time to get to the moment of success or failure. I think I might have adjusted that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's true that they were definitely speedy this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that it's the type of thing that, again, like, I sort of mentioned this last episode, it's hard to really accept when you're designing things how fast people can do something if they're really, really rushing. Like,
true.
The juice challenge, we did that crazy fast. If you're sitting at a desk, you'd be like, how long would it take to do this? You're like, yeah, you know, 25 minutes at least. Yep. But it's like, no, you can do it in like 13 if you fucking run. Like,
but this last run, and I guess Brian did get what he wanted, it was really like high octane jet lag for basically the whole time.
Yeah,
there's a lot of strategizing, a lot of changing plans, a lot of doing challenges as fast as we possibly could. It felt like peak jet lagging to me.
Yeah.
I do hope that, like, people continue to watch the season after the early win, because I feel like there's some good stuff here. There really was.
This is some of my favorite tag gameplay. I think it's, like, super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also pretty different. Like, we haven't had such an extended period of being so close behind for, like, really the whole day, basically. Keep in mind, we started this day by missing y'all by, like, 10 minutes in Zurich.
Yeah.
And then it's just perpetual, like, getting a little bit behind and then catching up and then missing y'all by minutes, time and time again. I don't think we've ever seen that, you know, exact form. But, of course, we did have another classic moment of very tense game moment, but we do have time to sit down in the lovely Deutsche Bahn cafe car and have a hot meal, which is awesome.
The Deutsche Bahn food is good.
Yeah.
I was really impressed by that.
It makes up for not all, but a good portion of Deutsche Bahn's fuckery.
Yeah.
The fact that you can get, like, a hot sandwich or something.
Ben, Adam, and I, on the way back from where we ended, also, like, got another dinner, and it was fantastic. It was really nice.
Yeah, well, because we had finished, you know, the game day at that point, and so I think Brian and I both got, like, a little wine on the train back to meet up.
Oh.
And that... To me, the most luxurious experience in the world is to drink wine while you're sitting on a train. Mm-hmm. It's sort of what I live for.
Right. You don't drink on the job. Only
when. Exactly. Well, no, I mean, I seriously, I'm like, okay, when we're filming, when I'm working, you know, I'm not going to drink, but it's like, well, we're done filming. We're just, you know, headed mm-hmm. back to meet up with everybody. Like, you know, I'll have a little glass of wine on the train.
I did see a comment for the second episode, or maybe it was the third. Like, oh, Brian's in a much better mood this episode. Has he been drinking? I was like, that's racist.
Look, we're going a couple centuries back. We're bringing back old school prejudice.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah. So y'all make it to Castle.
Yeah.
It was pretty.
We, meanwhile, are making, I mean, like you were saying, just very tense, fast moments of decision. And ultimately, we were able to make the right calls in the right moment.
No, I mean, you guys were making really, I mean, I think one of the frustrating things on your end has got to be like, in general, I think you made basically the right call.
Yeah.
I kind of think almost at every point, I'm trying to think of a place where you made the wrong call.
Well, at least with our, you know, strategy at this point of just we're falling behind, like the trickiness was actually identifying which train to get on in the moment with just like moments of, you know, because y'all were so close ahead of us that it usually takes some time to figure out which train the other team is on. Like you sort of need to like cross-reference it with like routes and timetables and all that. So with y'all so close to us, we just lacked very much time to be able to interpret what y'all were doing. And therefore, we were having to make these calls really quick. I mean, that's why you see me. I feel like when I was watching this episode, I was noticing that, like, I sort of lock in and stop being, like, entertaining. I'm just, like, face in the phone, trying to just figure out what the fuck to do. And that's how you know it's getting serious. That's how you know I'm getting nervous, is just face in phone. No more funniness. No more attempt at jokes. Just game mode. But, yeah, we were able to figure out, you know, the right connections we needed to make to maintain, you know, basically our fastest route behind y'all. But it wasn't easy, especially in this region of Germany where there's just so many different train lines in this region mm-hmm. going in so many different directions, so many different departures, so many different types of trains. Genuinely, I think some of the most challenging geography to be able to do that sort of anticipatory research and sort of digestion. Meanwhile, y'all finally get to play some Petanque in its traditional birthplace. Eastern Germany.
Yeah. Well, I think we probably have a lot to answer for in terms of we bought these bags and then we don't use them.
I was so disappointed with the whole thing. I was ready to nail it.
Yeah, Brian, you were very confident in your petanque skills.
I threw the thing, like, I obviously didn't throw it perfectly. Like, the hardest thing about that challenge was, like, you weren't allowed to do a practice throw, so you had no idea what the actual, like, thing you were going to throw was going to, like, act like. I thought the melon would have a bit more squish to it, but it bounced so much, and I hit the spot I was aiming for, but it just didn't stick. So I was just a bit dumb. I should have rolled it.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely rushing there, although maybe rushing more than we needed to be. But yeah. Brian was so confident that I was like, oh,
it's true. Well,
I was more confident when we had the whole bin bag and like stick. I think if we did it like that, it would have been fine, because I knew like the bounce is the only thing that's unpredictable. I know I can hit a mark when I throw, but it's yeah. just the bounce with something that isn't a ball. Like, I don't know how this is going to act. Yeah, I was looking for something really heavy.
Yeah, I think that what had happened was the bin bags weren't attached to each mm-hmm. other. And so we were like, oh, we'll have to tie them together. But we were like, that's fine. We can do that. But then I think it's me who goes, oh, Brian, like, would you prefer just using the wall as a backstop?
Yeah.
Would that be better? And mm-hmm. you're like, oh, yeah, that's great. And you, I mean, I don't want to pile on, but you were so confident that you could do it that I didn't want to push you on it. I was sort yeah. of like, he seems really certain he can do this. So, like, I don't want to be like, no, let's do, you know, let's, you know, really, you know, whatever. I was like, all right, like, he's got it. Like, you were so mm-hmm. locked in. But, you know, I do totally know what you mean, that it's like, you do hit the mark. It's just the case that the melon bounces more than you thought it was going to. Mm-hmm. And I'll also say that I tried it after you, and I also got nowhere close because yeah. it bounced in a crazy way. So I yeah. do think that the problem was not your throw. I think it was that it was much harder than we thought it was going to be as a thing to do. And therefore, we really should have done a better job of setting up stuff to make the shot more of a guarantee.
Yeah. And then, like, we'd prepared for that, and then we were just in a rush. It's easy to, like, look back, but when you're aware, like, we were expecting to catch up with us at any moment, so we were kind of rushing. But then the veto, I think at that time, I'd kind of forgotten that if we fail, there's a veto, because I've never gotten that before. And yeah, it was just, like, the adrenaline and desire to prove myself. But yeah. Oh, well.
It is a very funny moment. There's all this buildup, and then it's just like, nope.
It is. And you guys haven't seen it with music yet, but the music is going to be very funny that people have seen of, like, it's going to really build it up, and then it's going to be like,
meh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially, like, narratively, like, everything has gone so well with, like, the challenges so far. And you always have seen Brian with, like, the same confidence and, like, okay, let's just freaking do it. And then it doesn't. But yeah, I think it'll be very funny. People often forget that jet lag isn't actually scripted, and therefore I think watch it expecting the things that you would expect in a clean Hollywood narrative of just, like, this team is doing so well, everything's going well for them, while, of course, the opposing side is, like, things are not going so well for them. So I feel like it's unexpected when you have this moment that kind of counters the clean narrative.
Mm-hmm. I will say that I'm curious from the audience perspective how this moment plays. Because what's actually happening, unbeknownst to either team, although I guess you guys potentially suspect it, is that the reason that we're rushing so quickly to do this challenge is so that we can get on the train that you guys are on.
Yeah, we hadn't initially noticed this, but eventually we noticed that actually at this point, originally, we thought that there was another train that y'all were more likely to take. I forget exactly what one it was, but that was based on assuming that y'all didn't need to do a challenge or anything and could just take, like, an immediate connection.
I kind of think that that train left at an even time.
It might have been that, yeah. And I think it was also, like, a quick connection that y'all wouldn't have had time for just given the challenge.
Right, wouldn't have had the coins for. Yeah.
But we didn't know what year it was. So, like, eventually we see actually the only advantageous train, not the only train, but the only, like, advantageous train before we'll get there is actually our train, or, you know, when we get there. But, you know, we didn't get too excited because, of course, we've had even better prospects multiple times earlier this day and it hadn't panned out. But yeah, so we make it onto our last train, and it wasn't the best train because y'all were on a high-speed train. This was a low-speed train, so we were losing a bit of ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were as close as, like, literally 10 minutes behind wherever we transferred. Mm-hmm. And I think this would get us in maybe 25, 30 minutes behind. But it was the best we could do.
I think it was 20, 22 maybe. It was not a ton.
Sure. Yeah. I believe you.
It was something like that.
Yeah. But we lost a little bit of ground. But, mm-hmm. again, it was the best we could do. And then... and then we stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that the audience finds this conclusion fun and entertaining, which I certainly do, because I think it's, like, the culmination of kind of the whole story for you guys of, like, you keep getting messed up by these train delays. And then eventually it's like, because the thing is, and I'll also say in some ways, I'm a little grateful that, like, without this, if you had caught us in Castle, you could not have made it to your zone.
I think that was, if we had done it immediately without the delay, I believe that was our last shot of getting on the train that I mentioned earlier that might have given us a shot.
Oh, no, you're right. Because, no, you guys figure this out because we're going closer to your zone.
Yeah. Kind of.
We're going further into our zone, right, but also closer toward, well, yours. So yeah, I think you're
particularly
right.
You were going closer to Frankfurt, which was where that train originated.
Yeah. Right.
But the deal was basically we would have had to have earned slightly more coins, I think, in a, like, 15-minute connection in Frankfurt or Strasbourg.
Totally possible.
Doable.
But that happened.
Yeah.
That
so happened. It was not a sure shot. I mean, it was not a sure shot in two ways. We would need more coins, and we don't know where we would have ended up relative to the line because it wasn't at a stop. But yes, we did have a shot still, surprisingly.
So it really does come down to this. I mean, again, like, the fact that we are waiting for your train because we want to get on it.
Yeah.
Meant that if it had not been delayed that much, it would have basically been a guarantee that you catch us. And actually, I will say, we make a decision to not wait for your train. We 100% could have been like, oh, well, this train that we wanted to take is delayed, but we'll just wait for it to get in and take it.
Yeah. Well, y'all wait for a little bit, I think, right?
We wait for maybe 5 minutes or so.
Okay.
Yeah, not much.
Yeah. Well, because what happens, as you know, is we're in the veto period and it gets delayed. And then we're like, oh, this is great. We couldn't take it when we wanted.
Oh, right.
But now we can. And then after that point, I think we only wait an additional 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Oh, it's worth, I don't know, addressing the AC curse or challenge.
That was a B deck.
Yeah, maybe put that in the camp of sandboarding in New Zealand. We never thought it would be that tough. We at least thought it would be, like, funny to play into the meme of nowhere in Europe has AC.
Yeah.
But then it does.
Turns out some places in Europe have AC.
There are places where that challenge would have been really fun. It turned out that this was not one of them.
No. Yeah, like in a small town or something. Yeah, it could have been tough, and it could have been tough in a funny way, but not in a big train station, I guess, unfortunately.
We never got to talk about the challenge that we had to do when we got off the mountain in Zermatt. That was a fun challenge.
Oh, yeah. We did never cover that.
What, the lampshade?
The lampshade. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, we discussed that last episode. We didn't discuss it with, or we discussed it without Brian.
Yes. You weren't here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You weren't here, Brian. But we talked about it.
But yeah, so we get delayed.
We get on the train to Korbach.
Yeah. Here's my behind the scenes for Korbach, which is that you notice there's not a lot of footage of us there. Normally there would be. The conductor was like, do not film on this train, which, like, we've been on German trains this whole time. The people who work on them see us filming all the time. They never ask us not to. And then this random tiny train, the dude is like, no filming.
Mm-hmm. Old German guy.
But eventually y'all made friends, right?
And then we ended up making really good friends with them. Yeah.
Then we became friends with them.
Yeah, because he was so confused about us being on this train.
See, he was the conductor, like he was the guy, the inspector and the driver too. This was like a tiny local commuter train. So he was he brought us up and he showed us how the actual driving mechanism works and everything. He was like,
yeah,
this is a shit train. It doesn't work properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, once we explained what we were doing, he just would not stop chatting us up. And he was excited to tell us, like, where we should get off, because we were like, what are the cool stations along this line? And he was like, none of them. It's horrible.
Why are you here? Yeah. That was his main line of questioning. Why are you going here? There's nothing here.
The main thing I remember about him is that he loves the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
The football
team. He wanted to talk to us about the Detroit Lions.
The main thing he wanted to talk about was the Detroit Lions. He showed us his phone background, which was a picture of the Detroit Lions. And I was like, have you ever been to Detroit? And he was like, no, but I love the Detroit Lions.
I love that guy.
He was awesome.
He was so
funny. It was funny. Like, I was asking him about football and stuff then too. He was like, no, I hate football. Just insulting all soccer players, calling them cowards and stuff. I think, I like you. You're cool.
Yeah. So he went from our enemy to our best friend.
But even after all of that, we had talked to him for so long, being friends with him. He was like, okay, good luck. But still, no filming on the train. He did not budge on that, which was hilarious.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah. So, I mean, the BTS note at the moment is, like, while we were in the delay, we figured out that, like, we sort of were checkmated, I guess.
Yeah.
So we texted their side, and as we enjoyed our emergency rations, which I really love that the Deutsche Bahn trains have, like, a very defined emergency rations / apology letter system. They had it really down as a system. Like, they were stocked up. Everyone knew what was going on. We didn't, because they only did the announcements in German. Eventually, we worked up the courage to ask someone what they were saying and got our rations as well. But yeah, we were stopped there for over an hour, I'd say. I don't remember exactly. But yeah, we quickly realized that, I mean, the real production reason of why we kind of hinted to them that it was going to be GG was that in order to each end our day in Frankfurt in daylight, we needed to basically seed it now, and we wanted to have a closing shot in Frankfurt together.
That's fun.
So yeah, we gave them the call.
And then we got off, and I'm looking at a map. I'm trying to figure out which station we got off. I think it was a town called Mengeringhausen.
Could have been.
It was one of these stops on the way to Korbach. I think that was the one. It was kind of pretty. It was pretty.
Like,
it's a nice place to end our run. And then we got on the train back, and our friend was predictably operating the service back, and we talked to him about the Detroit Lions more.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough. It was tough.
Yeah, it's a common jet lag scenario where we end up with the same conductor in an inexplicable travel pattern.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just awkward. Anyway, That's the season.
We have to wrap here, but we're going to do some follow-up on the season. We're going to tie up all of our loose ends in the next episode, but we have to jump right now.
Yeah. We'll do a mailbag of some form.
So get ready with your best questions. We'll post that on Reddit, as always.
My closing thought, Frankfurt actually looks kind of nice in areas. My only experience with Frankfurt is Frankfurt Airport and ending up briefly at Frankfurt downtown when missing a connection at Frankfurt Airport. But there was a lovely vantage point there.
I liked Frankfurt.
And everyone was like hanging out by the river.
Yeah, the river was lovely.
I think Germans don't like Frankfurt. I was just at Epcot. I was at the German pavilion. I was talking to a German woman about how I was just in Germany. And she's like, where do you go? And I was like, oh, I was in Frankfurt. And she was like, no. No.
In fairness, the area around the train is quite possibly the scummiest area I've ever seen outside of the train. Like when we were leaving really early to get the train back to Paris when the game was over so we could fly home. And I remember walking through that area early in the morning and there's still guys who are up all night. And like, it's a red light district and it's like the seediest red light district. It didn't feel like safe at all.
No, it's like, unfortunately we booked our hotel basically on the other, like we had to walk through the red light district to get to our hotel from the station.
Yeah.
And it was uncomfortable.
Yeah. I remember walking in between the girls and the creepy fucking guys we had to walk by a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. 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 But then you walked like 3 or 4 blocks away and you had this lovely river that everyone was hanging out on. And that's where we got our closing shot, which was lovely. Anyway, that's that for this season.
That's that, folks. Hey, thanks for
watching. We'll be back for mailbag.
Listening.
Hopefully with some guests. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Someone say something to end it.
Bye-bye. I'll see you on season 30.
Yeah. Ooh, right.
Okay. I don't know if I can make it that far.
Yeah, I don't think I can either.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.